Psalm 61, what to do when you are overwhelmed. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thee, unto thy name, So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Heavenly Father, help this preacher this morning. If you'll give me clarity of thought and mind, dear God, and a focus upon the scripture. And Lord, please, a listening ear to the voice of the Spirit of God as he directs me as I preach. I pray, Lord, that there would not be anything that ought to be said that's left unsaid, Lord. Yet guard my tongue against saying those things which might bring confusion or might, Lord, cause someone not to misunderstand the scripture. Lord, I want to stand up and properly represent this portion of the Word of God. And so help me, Lord. I pray for many in our congregation, dear God, that are probably this congregation this size. There's no doubt there's more than just a small percentage that are going through a difficult time of trials or testing in their life, and they need this message, dear God. For some, it will be something for the future. For a handful, it may very be a life preserver, dear God, thrown to someone who feels as if they're drowning right now. I pray, Lord, that you'd use this message, please, to minister to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, the word overwhelm comes from a primary root word, which means to shroud, to clothe, hence from the idea of darkness, to languish, to cover over, to fail, to faint, to be overwhelmed, to swoon. In our first message, we talked about Bible characters, and I'm talking about some of God's choicest servants, Moses, Elijah, Peter, Paul, and others who at times were so overwhelmed, some of them to the point where they were praying and asking God to kill them. And so this is not something that's just reserved, a condition reserved for Christians out of the will of God, but it is something that each and every person will face at some point in their life. I shared with you some personal illustrations of men and people that I've known, preachers and pastors and God's people, some laymen, missionaries, and every single one of them at times gone through these times of being overwhelmed. We looked at the symptoms. And by the way, let me kind of break this down and I'll help you. If you get into this portion of your life, if you'll jot this down in the flyleaf of your Bible, because there's three key chapters that you need to get into during times where you're overwhelmed. Psalm 55, Psalm 61, and Psalm 143. Psalm 55, Psalm 61, Psalm 143. Psalm 55 describes what it means to be overwhelmed. You'll discover the symptoms of being overwhelmed in Psalm 55. What are some of the symptoms? You become convinced you are divinely forsaken. Isn't it interesting how the devil can convince you that the God who promised to never leave you or forsake you has done that very thing? The symptoms, becoming convinced that you are divinely forsaken. Number two, utter sadness and despair. Number three, believing everyone is against you. We covered all of these things. Psalm 55 verse 3, Psalms 55 verse 9 through 15. Physical maladies, physical attacks, often with no doctor's explanation. Psalm 55 4, sleeplessness, Psalm 77 4. Psychological maladies, Psalms 55 5, fear and trembling, horror, panic, the doctors would call them panic attacks. Number six, watch this, a desire to flee, a desire to hide. And I'm going to read just two of those verses. Watch this, have you ever been here? They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps, when they wait for my soul, how shall they escape by iniquity? That's not the verse I want, I'm sorry. Psalm 55, verse number 6 and 8. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. And we get to the point where we think the only thing to do is to run, to hide, to flee. Watch this, folks. Let me help you with something. When you are going through a time like this, it is not the time to make any major decision in your life. You may have heard the most important thing that you can hear. So many people in times of despair, at times when they're overwhelmed, when they're shrouded with darkness, when they have no compass, and you know what? They're lost, literally. I don't mean lost. They've lost their salvation, but they are lost. During those times, I've watched Christians make some of the most horrific decisions of their life. And it's not a time to make any type of major decision, all right? So we see in Psalm 55, we read about the symptoms of what it means to be overwhelmed. In Psalm 143 that I mentioned a second ago, you see the prayer that ought to be prayed when you're overwhelmed. In Psalm 61, you see the cure for being, what to do when you are overwhelmed. Say, preacher, what does a person do when they're overwhelmed? Well, I've already covered the first four of these. We're going to do another two or three today and then probably finish up next week. What is the cure? Again, we're reviewing Psalm 61, are you back there? Number one, kneel down. God is allowing this time in your life to break you. That's not a bad thing. You know what? God from time to time needs to drive us to our knees. Number two, cry out. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When you're overwhelmed, folks, listen to me. You will either head away from God or you'll head to God. Please head towards God. It's not the time not to pray. It's the time to pray. It's not the time not to read your Bible. It's time to read more of your Bible. Watch this. It's not a time to vacate the church house. It's a time to make sure that you're there every time the doors is open, because you don't know when God will give you exactly what you need. Say, preacher, I don't even know what to pray. That's why God gave us Psalms 143. That is the prayer of the overwhelmed. It's a prayer based on God's faithfulness and mercy. It's a prayer, boy, this is so important, that properly identifies the enemy. And the enemy is not who you think it is. The enemy is the devil. It's a prayer that is a statement of complete honesty. And we talked about during these times of being overwhelmed. You know what? Pray to God and speak the truth and be honest with God. He knows what's in your heart. It's a time of remembrance, a time of seeking God's face. This prayer is a time to give specific prayer requests, to tell God exactly what you need. It's a prayer for renewed fellowship, a prayer for direction, a prayer for deliverance, a prayer for personal revival, and a prayer of complete surrender. And we went through that prayer and taught you how to pray that prayer. But Psalm 143, you say, preacher, are you talking about just opening the Bible, getting on your knees, and praying that word for word? I don't know where you can find a better prayer. I mean, come on, every once in a while, I was at a church once where I'll hear somebody do that every once in a while. Some brother was called on to pray in a meeting that I was preaching, and he got up and he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Say, preacher, that's not the way I would pray, but maybe it's not, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a little hard to argue with. And when Jesus said, when you pray, pray this. So you know what? Sometimes what we ought to do is just open the Bible and pray the prayers of the scripture. And I think Psalms 143, when you're in that point of being overwhelmed, the words, the phrases, those verses are going to jump off the page. You're going to need them. You're going to associate with them. And you're going to find that God blesses that prayer. Number three, seek hard after God. Psalm 61, again, we're reviewing verse number three. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And again, folks, it's time to get after, seek after God. I'm all for praying. And I want you to pray Psalm 143. But folks, listen to me. All of the time spent in the presence of God does not need to be us talking. We heard through our evangelist that we just had in, we were reminded of 2 Chronicles 14. Verse number 7, the formula for revival. If my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves. Isn't it interesting? Point 1 and 2, humble yourself. Watch this. And pray. And then it says something else. You notice those are two separate things. Okay, prayer is asking. Prayer is communicating. Prayer is talking to God. But sometimes, folks, we just need to be quiet. What I'm going to tell you, and this may just be where I'm in my Christian life, and you know what? You don't have to be where I am, and you don't have to be. But I'm going to tell you something. I will tell you this. Most of my prayer time has now developed into quiet time. Most of my prayer time I spend more time quiet than I do saying anything. Amen. Amen. You know, we're real good about coming to God with our list. Hey, God, I need you to do this, 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 this. See ya. Maybe you ought to listen to what he has to say. Maybe if he says, well, I need you to do this, 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 and this. You know, if we got a right to ask, don't you think we ought to? I mean, folks, have you ever tried to carry on a conversation with somebody that really didn't want to have a conversation? You know, they really just basically wanted to dominate the conversation. They were just looking for someone to listen to them. They had no interest in your reaction. They had no interest in what you're going to say. They don't really want your advice. And every time you start saying, well, they jump right back in. And they talk. Thank you, been a big help to me. Boom. And you're like, okay. And you know what? Watch this. Come on, don't we treat God like that sometimes? You know what? Sometimes what we need to do is just seek hard after God. Start climbing. Start climbing. Seek shelter in God's presence. Find out what it's talking about when it says, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. There's times when we're being overwhelmed. We just need to get under the shelter of God's wings. We need to just sit quietly in his presence. We need to just be ministered to at the throne of what? Grace. Grace. That's what we need. Remember your vows. We preached an entire message on this the last time we preached Psalm 61:5. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Verse number 8, the end of the verse. Forever, that I may daily perform my vows. The sacredness of vows, we talked about that. What is a vow? The sacredness of it, the seriousness of it. When to make a vow. I told you young people, hope you heard me, make vows in your youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You ought to make vows of purity and faithfulness. And you ought to take seriously the vows of marriage. And you ought to make vows of service. And I talked to you and gave you some personal illustration. But I'm going to tell you this. We are producing a generation of Christians that read what the Bible says about the sacredness of vows and say, well, I don't want to put myself in that situation, so they don't ever make God a promise about anything. Remember what I said? Would any of you here be interested in entering into a vowless wedding? A vowless marriage? Okay, you tell somebody you love them and they seem to love you, and so you agree to get married, and the last thing you say to them before the day of the wedding is, listen, you know, I do want to marry and all of this, but, you know, I want to do all of the other stuff, but let's just cut out the vows. Listen, I don't want to make any promises to you, and I don't want you to make any promises to me. Well, folks, what is a marriage? I mean, if you take away all of the pomp and circumstance and you just boil it down to what it is, you know what it is? It's a man that stands before a holy God and in his presence makes promise to a woman, till death do you part. That's what it is. It's a woman that stands. Listen, God has made us plenty of promises. Now, I'm hitting something here, and I know I preached a message on it. We got on it good, but we need to get on it good again. I am shocked at how many young people have never made God one vow, one promise in their life about anything. And all you're doing is setting yourself up for failure. Listen, you make vows while you're on the mountaintops, and those vows will get you through the valleys. See, I made some promises to God in my youth, and you know what, folks? If I hadn't made those promises, I probably wouldn't still be serving the Lord. But I made promises. I made vows. And you know what David said? He goes back and he says this. I love what that says right there. Psalm 61, he says, verse 5, for thou, O Lord, hast heard my vows. Here's the question we asked in that message. Has God ever heard a vow from you? Come on, missus. Come on, ma'am. Okay, watch this. You're going to get mad at me, but vows will get you through menopause. God, vows will get you through, watch this, vows will get you through child rearing. Vows will get you through tough spots in your wedding, in your marriage. Vows will get you through hard times. Vows will get you through poverty. Come on now. It's amazing. God in heaven's willing to make us promises, and we won't promise him anything. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about getting on your knees and say, God, I promise the rest of my life to be faithful to your house. I promise it, God. And then you're going to wake up two Sunday mornings from now, and guess what? You'd rather not wake up. You're going to have somebody come and say, hey, listen, 3 Sundays from now, why don't you come to this thing? And you're going to say, I would, but I made a promise for that day already. Listen, there's only one difference between the Christian that's faithful to church and the one that's not. It's called integrity. It's called keeping your word. It's called making a vow. You say, well, preacher, I wish I was like you and woke up every Sunday morning and just jumped out of bed, was excited. Well, obviously, you've never been at my house about 6 o'clock in the morning. I hate my alarm clock. I hate it. I know I do. I mean, I despise the stupid thing. I started setting I got a smartphone, and I'm too dumb to have a smartphone. I really am. It's a dangerous thing. But I found out that you could change the alarm setting. So I don't want to wake up to, I mean, doesn't that just put you in a bad mood almost immediately? So I found this like harp music. This is like melodic. I thought that's the way to wake up, man. Like the angels are playing you awake. And so the first morning, they played a while and they played a while. And finally, I'm just like, oh, hey, wow. That's a way to wake up. But by the third morning, I got used to the harp music and it didn't wake me up anymore. And just an hour later, the little angel in the iPhone is playing the harp and I'm sound asleep. It's not doing me any good. So I put it on an obnoxious sound again and I wake up in a bed. Listen, I'm made out of the same flesh you are. Oh, preacher, if you knew my circumstance. Well, if you knew mine. Guess what? Everybody's got alleys. Let's all show them to each other. Let's all complain about how we got it tougher. Listen, the honest truth is this. If you make a promise to God about something and you do it seriously, when you don't want to do the right thing, you'll do it because you'll know you need to keep your vow. You want to get the marriage altar pure and clean? Well, young man, do you or don't you? Because if you do, there's a way to do it. Young lady, do you or don't you? Because if you do, there's a way to do it. It's something called a vow of purity. Are you getting this? Watch it, folks. I know I preached this 2 Sundays, 3 Sundays ago, but good night. I haven't been here for a while, so we need to hit it again. I want to talk to you this morning about your heritage. Revisit your heritage. Number 5, how do you make it through times where you're overwhelmed? You revisit your heritage. Well, this is an important word. I want you to get this. Your heritage ought to mean something to you. Psalm 61, verse number 5. He says this. David says, for thou, O Lord, hast heard my vows. Watch this. Thou, speaking of God, hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Say, preacher, what is a heritage? Let me give you this. A heritage is something that is received, then possessed, and eventually given. It's something that is received, then possessed, then eventually given. Okay? And you know what? Those of us that were raised in good Christian homes received a godly heritage. You say, now wait a minute, preacher, that's not me. Well, I'll get to you in a minute. And by the way, you're going to be just fine. You got one too if you're saved. You may not have got it from your mom and dad, but you got it from somewhere. You got it from somebody. And if you're saved here today, you've been given a goodly heritage, a godly heritage. Now listen to this. Watch it. A heritage is something that's been received. You receive it, then for a while you possess it, and then you pass it on. Now watch this. You say, preacher, show me that. Psalm 61, verse 5. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear my name. So you receive it first of all. Now let me have you go over to Psalm 16:6. We'll bounce around a little bit, look at a few scriptures. It's good. It's good. Remember what we said in Sunday school, an open book. Get the book open. Amen. Psalm 16, verse number 6. Psalm 16:6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. So he received it. Now he has it. You receive it. You possess it. And then now, if you will, go over to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Now I'm going to get pointed here in a minute. So those of you that don't like it when the preacher gets stern and a little pointed, just kind of plug your ears or go into yoga meditation or do something, and I'll get back to what. But listen, there's not enough pointed preaching going on in our country today. And some of you need to hear what I have to say. And by the way, don't sit back there and laugh at her. I may come back and get you. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm watching a generation throw away a godly heritage. I got zero respect for you. None. Zero. I don't care how you spell your last name. You receive something, you possess it, and then you give it. And if you throw it away, that means you don't have it to give. Now watch this, Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As our arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Look up here, parents. Let's all remind ourselves of the same thing. Those children God gave us are lent to us for a little while. They are not yours, they're God's. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They're not to be raised for your good pleasure. They're to be raised for his good pleasure. And you know what? If you were blessed to be raised in a Christian home, you received a Christian heritage. You are to properly possess, and by the way, enlarge that Christian heritage. Not possess and diminish it. Possess and enlarge that. Let me tell you what happens. Watch this. This is the culture we live in right now. Great-grandpa, World War II vet, passes away. He has some memorabilia from the war that means everything in the world to him and stands for what he sacrificed and what he fought. And every time he touches that stuff, he thinks about the buddies that fought with him that never came home. He passes away. He leaves it in the will for his grandson. The grandson gets this stuff, watches this, looks at it, thinks cha-ching, goes down to the pawn shop and sells it for about a third of what it's worth. That's what's happening with our third generation Christians. That's what's happening with our third generation. And by the way, shame on you. Shame on you. You're taking some things that grandpa fought for and bled for, suffered for, and you're selling them cheap to the devil. Come on now. Come on. Well, I just don't know if I agree. You're not even smart enough to have an opinion yet. Excuse me, you're not. Come on. Now listen to me, folks. Watch this. My responsibility as a Christian is to accept the godly heritage and not diminish it and not soil it and not throw it away, but enlarge it. You know, watch this. If you have received an inheritance from your, this culture. Grandpa passes away, leaves the grandchildren a chunk of money. He spent 75, 80 years slowly being frugal. And by the way, when he went to Dairy Queen, he got a small ice cream cone. Come on now. And he didn't go that often. And he pinched pennies and he saved for a lifetime. And he got a little bit of an inheritance, and he divvies it out to his grandchildren. And you know what? In 3 months, they squander a lifetime of work and savings. That's the culture we live in. That's the culture we live in. Doesn't mean anything to them. Big deal. They don't only think 1 second what he spent a lifetime and all the sacrifice of the. Listen. That is what most people do. But let me tell you what somebody who's wise does. Say your father gives you an inheritance. I got an idea. Why don't you enlarge that inheritance so that when you pass to the next generation, they receive more than you got? That concept's lost on a society. But listen to me, folks. My dad was a first-generation Christian. He had good parents, but he did not have church-going godly parents. Now, they taught him some principles of the Bible, but they didn't have him. Listen, are you listening to me? My dad got saved when he was 26 years of age. I was 5 years old. He started a new heritage. He started a godly lineage. Came from an unsaved home. Mom came from an unsaved home. They got saved. They gave us something they didn't have. A family in church. Sunday school every Sunday morning. Church every Sunday night. Wednesday night in church. They gave us that. And by the way, I didn't just take it. Watch this. I've enlarged it. Some of you have Christian heritage that goes back 2, 3, 4 generations. Man alive, treat it sacredly. You know, why are you saying this in the context? Folks, if there's ever a time where you're going to be tempted to throw a heritage away, it's when you're overwhelmed. Say, preacher, when it gets hard, why don't you just quit? 2 reasons. Number one, because I made a vow. I made a promise to God. And by the way, I got the integrity to keep it. Quitters are a dime a dozen in this culture. Oh, pray for brother so-and-so. I'll pray for him, but you know what? They aren't going through anything that nobody else, somebody else hadn't already gone through. That stayed faithful. There's not a person that's backslidden that has a legitimate reason to be backslidden. No, did you hear what I said? There's not a person that's backslidden out of the will of God as a Christian that has a legitimate reason. Well, you don't know what happened to him. I guarantee you, I can find somebody else that the same things happened to him, or worse, that stayed in church and stayed in the will of God. I'm sick and tired of handing all these backsliders an excuse slip. You're not going to get an excuse slip from me. Everybody goes through hard times. Open the Word of God. Good night, folks. Joseph got sold out by his brothers, served faithfully in Potiphar's house, then was falsely accused, and all of Egypt thought he was an adulterer when he wasn't, was thrown in prison. You see, oh, but you've been through that. Excuse me. You spent 7 years in prison, right? Over something you didn't do. But you know what he did? He got in prison and said, God, you know what? I don't understand if things happening, but I'm going to roll up my sleeves and get busy here, and pretty soon he's running the jail. And interpreting dreams. And then he was standing before Pharaoh. And then he was the second ruler over a nation. And then he was used of God to save his father and his brothers from perishing. Now listen to me. When the going gets tough, you know what? The faithful remain faithful. You stick with it. But it's not fair. Guess what? Newsflash, life isn't fair. What planet do you live on? Where's your spaceship? Did you just land and think that you landed on a fair planet? It's not fair. But I don't get up every morning and say, I'll tell you what, God, if everybody's fair to me today, I'll serve you. No, this is good. Come on, man. I like this. I like it. There's a percentage of people that's over at church. Every time I go to Dallas, you know why? Because I'm taking your out away. I'm taking your excuse away.
Yes, sir.
Jesus still died on the cross. Listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Amen. Nothing's going to change that.
Yeah.
He did. Listen, he didn't get halfway up that hill and say, I ain't doing this. Yeah. By the way, was that fair? He died for what he did? No, he died for what I did. He died for what I did. I had been on the cross. He didn't have been on that cross. He's the perfect Son of God. Now, what I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. This whole idea of, oh, I'm overwhelmed, this happened, this person hurt me, this person said this about me, somebody did this, somebody did that. By the way, most of your information that you're getting is from a whisper who's trying to separate chief of friends. If you stop listening to the garbage, you wouldn't have the attitude you have all the time. I mean, next time somebody comes to you and say, oh, you're not going to believe this, say, is it good? Well, no, is it good? Is it encouraging? Am I going to be more excited about serving the Lord after you get done talking to me? Well, no. Then don't talk to me. I got enough negative that I can't avoid. I'm not going to go around, get on my cell phone and find more. I'm not going to get on Facebook and find more. Lord, I got enough that I can't avoid. I'm not going to go searching for it. You know that computer unplugs? It's probably against the law, so I didn't tell you to do it. But you know there's several bridges. You can just chuck it over into the water, and it'll sink all the way to the bottom. You know most computers make a good anchor for your boat. Amen. I've been given something. Okay? There's a higher reason to be faithful. There's a higher reason. There's a way to live. Okay, preacher, I didn't have a Christian heritage. Did God save your soul? See, sometimes you don't get a Christian heritage from your mom and dad. You get it from a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what? You get to be that first generation. I mean, folks, listen to me. Why do we have an American heritage? Because one of our forefathers left an impoverished land, got on a boat with probably the clothes on their back, and came over here, not because maybe their life would be that much better, but because their children's lives and their children's children's lives would be better. And because of that, I have an American heritage. But you know what? I have a Christian heritage. And my mom and dad gave that to me. My grandma and grandpas didn't give that to me. My mom and dad gave that to me. And I'm to throw it away? I'm to drop it on the ground and stop? I'm to shame that heritage? Listen, how do you look yourself in the mirror? How do you sleep at night? Yeah, there's just some things that grandma and grandpa believe that I just don't think's that. That's because you're not very smart. By the way, are you a spiritual example? Have you just walked so close to God and you know the Bible so well? And I mean, Shekinah glory, woo, just comes off you. You got that because you walk so close to God that you got insight that grandma and grandpa didn't get? Who you fooling? Who you fooling? You know what I'm preaching right now? I'm preaching to the generation that's either going to carry on here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church so this church has a chance for another 40 years of being a lighthouse in this community, or they're just going to turn into a bunch of carnal messes like you find in most so-called Baptist churches in this area. And you're going to have to decide. Amen. Now, I may have 20 more years left. I don't know. Then I'm out of here. Maybe a little earlier, and that's all right with me. I've often said, don't you cry about Jerry Ross. You hear that I'm going full blast forward, heading somewhere, and keel over with a heart attack. Don't you cry for me. I spent enough time in nursing homes. I'd rather go that way than other ways, I've seen. Come on, man. Come on. Are you with me there? Don't you cry for me. Brother, I'm going to tell you what. Weep for yourself. Don't weep for the saint who goes home. Weep for yourself. You're still here. Don't weep for the saint that's in glory. Now, you got an opportunity. Parents, listen to me. Preacher, I just got recently saved. You got a chance to build a brand new heritage. You got a chance to build something. You got a chance to give your kids something. You got a chance to start a Christian lineage. You've got that opportunity. Take it. Take it. What is a heritage? It's something that's received and then possessed for a period of time, and then it's given to the next generation. You ought to think back from time to time of what you have received. Who did God use to give you that heritage? How did God give you that heritage? Go back and revisit the time in your life when God was handed down, when God was communicated to you, and who the people God used to do that in your life. So think back to what you have received and then look at what you now possess. If I have an inheritance, I can do one of three things with it. Number one, I can squander it. Number two, I can use it selfishly. Number three, I can expand it and make it even better. You know, my dad told me one day, he said, Jerry, listen to me. He said, you ought to be a better Christian than me. You got an earlier start. I mean, my dad was saved when I was 5. Him and mom will tell you, it took them 2 or 3 years to kind of figure out which way the boat was supposed to be turned. I mean, come on, you're new Christian. Come on, you're just trying to figure it out. So I was up probably 8, 9, 10 years old before they really kind of settled on some things and got our family, you know, lined away. And I mean, going in a pretty strong direction. And are you listening to me? My baby girl's got to get that from day one. Mom and dad didn't get it. They were 26. I didn't get it probably till I was almost preteen. And you third generations are going to be the one that throw it on the ground and spit on it and stomp on it and walk away from it? You're not, listen, I don't want you third generation Christians to be as good as we are. I want you to be better than we are. You're diminishing when you ought to be accelerating. You're dropping standards when you ought to be adding some. Imagine that, adding some. Come on now. Blessed Old Baptist Church is going to be a shell of what it was in 10 or 15 or 20 years if we don't get some third generation Christians to get to an altar after you hear a message like you're hearing this morning and get your heart right and get refocused and realize, I don't care what's going on here. Excuse me. I don't care what your ought against God is. You need to get over it. He's good. He's perfect. Well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. You know what Job said? Have you gone through as much as Job? You know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago the little come to Jesus meeting me and him had out in the woods during Bible college where I, you know, nothing's going right, everything's going wrong. I think I'm doing everything I'm supposed to and nothing's working out. And buddy, we go out now, I mean midnight, some of you need to have that midnight out in the woods, throw it down, let it go. I mean, make some promises, get it worked out. But I scream, I mean, I hollered to God out of the depths of those woods. Lord, if you never bless me, if you never answer another prayer, you're stuck with me. You know, that's what Job said. I didn't even realize that. He said, kill me if you want to, but I'll still trust you. Kill me if you have to, but I'm going to serve you till my last breath. Amen. Folks, listen to me. We've watched too much Oprah and Dr. Phil. We're looking at a society that wants an excuse. Everyone wants an excuse why they can't. Why they're the exception, you know, why it's too hard. If other people had to go, you don't know what happened to me. You just don't understand. There's no new thing under the sun. The temptation that you face is common to all men. Amen. Young men, listen to me. This is what turns you into a man. All that other stuff's little boy. That's little boy stuff. This is manhood. This is what it makes. This is what makes you a Christian man. Come on, this young ladies. You know what? This is what makes you mature in Christ. You got a heritage. What are you going to do with it? So think back to what you received. Look at what you now possess, and make a decision about it. Are you going to squander it? Are you going to mock it? Are you going to use it? Abuse it? You going to throw it away? Or are you going to expand it and build upon it so that you have something to hand down to the next generation? So you ought to think back what you received. You ought to look at what you now possess. Watch this, and we're done. Then you need to think ahead to what you will pass on. Will your children be denied a Christian heritage? There's young adults raising children right now who had godly grandparents, and their kids are not even in church. And I'm going to tell you something. You can laugh. You can say whatever. That stinking breaks my heart. Every one of Robert Ross's grandkids ought to be in church, faithfully serving God, and a better Christian than their grandparent and their mom and dad. And that's true in your family too. That's true in your family too. Think ahead to what you will pass on. Will your children be denied a Christian heritage? Will your children receive a diminished heritage? I mean, you're the sacred keeper between generations. Are they going to get what grandpa and grandma give you, or are they going to get some diminished version of it? Watch this. Or will your children receive a godly heritage? Folks, listen to me. So many people have thrown away in a moment of weakness, just like Esau. He came back from the field and he was physically weak and he was exhausted and he got offered a bowl of soup for a birthright and he took it in a time when he said, well, I might as well do it because I'm going to die if I don't. You ever talk to a young man that thought he was so hungry he was going to die? I've heard teenagers, listen, I've worked with teenagers for decades now. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a young man, teenage boy say, I am dying of hunger. But I have never watched one actually die. I mean, I've even said, okay, that'll be cool to watch. Go ahead. No, I'm serious. I'm dying. Okay, well, I'm waiting. That'd be cool to see. You know, they never die. Esau thought he was dying of hunger. He wasn't dying. And by the way, watch this. Please hear. And you say, listen, preacher, you're just hard-hearted. You don't listen. It's not that I'm uncompassionate towards the trials of life. I think I've communicated that. But listen to me. I'm also tired of everybody babying each other and helping everybody, each other, have an excuse for why we can't serve the Lord during tough times. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. You got a goodly heritage. Remember that heritage. Remember that heritage when you're going through the tough times. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness to each and every one of us. Forgive us, dear God, for sometimes being so focused on the trials of life, we fail to count our blessings. When upon life's billows, you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. Lord, help us to stop from time to time and just have our own personal praise fit. Help us to just sometimes go back in the backyard and just spend no time doing nothing but just praising the Lord. Help us, Lord, to get out of Psalm 61 and into Psalm 145, 146, 147, 148, and 150. I pray, Lord, for, again, people that are going through tough times. Lord, I don't want them to leave here feeling as if the preacher don't care. I do. But God, I also pray, please, Lord, I pray that you would not allow us to become of the mindset of this world. Help us, Lord, to be Christian soldiers. Help us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Help us to understand there's a lot of things wrong in this world. And the devil's strong. And things aren't always going to go the way we think. But help us, Lord, to have made in the quietness of our heart sacred and holy promises to you that we will keep till death takes us from this place and into your presence. Lord, may we be faithful.